Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
Only days remain until the start of Purdue football practices. We'll preview those coming up on Golden Black Radio. Plus, Purdue gets commitment number 15. We'll talk about that and much more. Kyle Charter is here with Tom Dienhart. Brian Duber here by in a couple of minutes. All right, Tom, let's talk about football practice getting underway. We're going to go, until we hear differently or something official from Purdue, we're going to go with Thursday, August 1st, as when we're projecting the start of practice to be. Could be maybe a day after that, but we'll go with Thursday for now. What will you be watching on day one?
Get my neck roll out, bud, to get that eye black out. A lot to watch. You know, year three is dawning for Jeff Brohm. We all are well-versed up to this point of some of the issues facing Purdue. For me, I think the number one personnel issue is that offensive line. Again, the center, the two guards, Kyle, who's it going to be? You know the critical nature of that offensive line, particularly the interior. You know, how's that going to develop? How's Victor Beach look? Is he going to be the center? Will Jay McKenna be a guard? Will Mark Stickford be a guard? Will Alex Criddle be a guard? I don't know. So, for me, my eyes are going to go right toward that offensive line to see maybe how that's shaping up coming right out of the start of camp.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot to watch on day one, just to see who's with the ones, who's with the twos.
Yep.
No doubt about that. That'll be a spot that a lot of people, myself included, will be watching. There's some other spots, though, too, Tom, that I feel like are pretty intriguing from a position battle point of view. And I think we feel pretty comfortable that Purdue has options at places, like wide receiver, running back, maybe it's safety, but how exactly those pieces settle out, I think there's a lot to be determined during training camp. You know, can Jared Sparks hold on to a starting position, or will he even be given that opportunity on day one, or will there be a freshman, maybe David Bell, out there with the ones? At running back, is it Tario Fuller, or does one of the freshmen get an opportunity? I mean, I think those are all pretty intriguing questions that we don't yet have the answers to.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're right. The wide receiving core, the influx, those four freshmen, we've been talking about them, seems like for a decade now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But David Bell, I think everybody expects the moment he walks up those stairs on the practice field on Thursday and buckles his chin strap, I think almost everybody thinks he's going to be lined up with the ones. He didn't come to Purdue to be a backup. So if he picks things up quickly, some of the nuances of the position, I think everybody fully expects him to be on the outside there. You're right. And what's that mean for the veterans? You talked about Jared Sparks. The clock continues to tick on him. How about Ahmad Anderson, a redshirt freshman who had a big spring? You know, he's feeling the pressure, too, at wide receiver with these young bucks coming in. So it's going to be fun to watch all the competition, I think, at a wide receiver. And, Kyle, let me talk real quick about a guy everybody seems to have forgotten. We're in Chicago. You know, Lorenzo Neal was there. You know, Rondale Moore was there as well. Marcus Bailey. We hear about Elijah Sinlar a lot, too. He was there last year. Everybody seems to have forgotten about Bryson Hopkins. That's a kid I think could be maybe one of the best players at his position in the Big Ten this year. 50-catch guy. Probably an NFL player. Don't forget about Hopkins. And if everybody's focusing on Rondale Moore and who knows David Bell, you know, it could be a huge year for a guy like Bryson Hopkins working the seam down the middle of the field.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Since the day Bryson Hopkins set foot on campus, I thought he was an NFL player. We'll see if he's able to get there. I think he can have a really big senior year. You know, another freshman that we talk so much about David Bell coming in. Those four receivers are pretty good. Milton Wright is a four-star, too. And
yep.
You know, we sort of talk about him almost secondary to Bell, which seems a little bit crazy. I mean, Milton Wright could come in and grab one of those spots right away also.
Yeah, Mershon Rice is a four-star. And don't forget T.J. Sheffield, the fourth wide receiver, Kyle.
Yeah.
was a kid who was committed to Notre Dame at one point before the Irish pulled their offer. So you're right. We tend to focus a lot on Bell, but the other three wideouts, like you said very well, who knows, one of those guys could emerge and be the real bellwether of the freshman wide receiving class. So again, that's going to be fun too. And then we always got to look at the guys coming back from injury too, Kyle. And I think the two critical guys, at least the most critical to me, is Lorenzo Neal. Coming off the knee injury against IU, you know, he says he's ready to go. Jeff Brohm says he's ready to go. He better be ready to go, because we all know how important he is to that defensive line, the tone he sets up front trying to stuff the run. And then, of course, Kyle, the Richie Worship watch continues. You talked about running back a little bit. Is Fuller going to be the guy? Well, Richie Worship's a guy who Purdue would love to have back, but Jeff Brohm continues to be pretty cautious. We're talking about, you know, how quickly he could be back on the field. So it's going to be interesting to see if he is out there the very first day or not.
Yeah. All right. Aside maybe, Tom, of the guys that we're talking regularly about, you know, Karloftis, Graham, Bell, the running back, is there another freshman out there who you're pretty intrigued to see early on in camp?
Yeah, those are some good ones. I thought the one guy I really am intrigued a lot by is another defensive end, Dante Hunter, from the Columbus,
yeah,
Ohio area. He's a kid, I think, from everything you hear, has a chance to make an instant impact. We all know the need for pass rushers off the edge, Kyle. Purdue really hasn't had a difference maker there since, what, Ryan Kerrigan, going back almost 10 years. So, again, we know about Karloftis. We all got familiar with him in the spring. Hunter's been on campus this summer, and he's a guy, I think, another true freshman who maybe isn't getting talked about as much as these others that you alluded to, that fans need to remember. Dante Hunter, again, he could be a real difference maker off the edge for this Purdue defense in pass rushing situations in particular.
Maybe Stephen Fauché, throw him in there too, just being a big defensive tackle at a position where Purdue could need a little bit more depth. I think he's somebody that I'll take a look at here early on during camp. How about a veteran? Any? Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, I was gonna, real quick, I was going to Cam Allen's one of the guys that fans need to watch an eye. Keep an eye out for Cameron Allen from Virginia, was a quarterback in high school, was supposed to be a safety coming to Purdue, but Brohm talked him up in Chicago, Kyle, as a cornerback. And, you know, for him to mention him by name really spoke to me as being a guy to keep an eye out for. So Cam Allen, a cornerback, a big guy, an athletic guy, and that's a position where they could use some help too.
All right, how about a veteran who could make a big jump and grab himself a spot? Anybody? I'll give you one, Dedrick Mackey. I've liked Mackey from a coverage point of view. He has struggled to gain the size needed to play against the run a little bit, but another offseason, maybe he's a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. If he can improve in that area, then I think maybe he can earn himself some more playing time. Maybe he's a starter opposite Kenneth Major. Another guy, anybody else as far as a veteran goes, you like, and
couple guys
could make a jump this year?
For me, three on defense, a couple guys inside. Jeff Marks, one of the three true freshmen to play last year, defensive tackle, came to Purdue as an end. He's a guy, I think, that could be impactful inside. Cornell Jones is going to be a junior. I know about his shortcomings on the field sometimes from a discipline standpoint. But I tell you what, Kyle, he just makes plays. And if he matures, he can harness his emotions. He's proven to be a real difference maker. And offensively, the redshirt sophomore center, Victor Beach, I'm going to go back to him. I talked about Lorenzo Neal's importance to the defensive line. Victor Beach's importance to that offensive line, and I don't think can't be, you know, overstated. I think Purdue wants him to be the guy snapping the football. He looks the part. And, again, he's got to develop. He had that bad back this spring, and Purdue needs him to develop, and I think he could. And if he does, he could really stabilize that line.
Yeah. You got a story on the site right now, Tom, about year three of some previous coaching regimes, Joe Tiller, of course, Danny Hope, Daryl Hazel. We hit year three now for Jeff Brohm. Does the past tell us anything?
It's a mixed bag.
yeah.
You know, you usually think by year three your program's pretty well established, right? You've been on campus, you've turned over most of your roster, your philosophies and systems are well established. You should be on pretty solid footing. But again, this story I have up now looks at the third year for every Purdue coach going back to Jack Mollenkopf, the last 10 head coaches. And honestly, it's been a mixed bag, and it's not always a real indicator of what your future success is going to be. Danny Hope's best year was his third year, Kyle, and he didn't really build off that at all. Joe Tiller, obviously, great third year. You know, Leon Burtonette, great third year, bad rest of his tenure. So, again, it's just sort of a fun exercise to look at the last 10 head coaches, where they're at in their third year, how they performed, just to sort of set up Jeff Brohm's third year. And I think the jury's out. You talk to pundits across the nation. Just a 6-6 team, 7-5 team, 8-4 team. It seems like Purdue probably could settle in to one of those three records in 2019. I think most everybody expects a bull bid of some sort, too.
Yeah. All right, Tom, thanks. We'll see you out there Thursday or Friday or whenever it is the practice starts.
I'll bring the water, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Tom Dienhart bringing us up to speed on Purdue football. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Brian Neubert, another football commitment over the weekend, some basketball recruiting news as well. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brohm Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And big news from the weekend, Purdue picking up commitment number 15, Marcellus Moore, the wide receiver, athlete out of Chicagoland, picks the Boilermakers over Illinois, Michigan, Nebraska. Got an offer recently here from Tennessee, some other sniffing around about the speedster as well. That's a pretty good way to describe him, isn't it, Brian? He's a guy who can run a little bit.
Yeah, 10-3-2 or whatever it is, 100-meter guy, 4-3-5 roughly, 40-yard dash guy. He's obviously got some real wheels. And, you know, Purdue recruited him with the Rondell Moore model in mind. Now, I think something to keep in mind here is the Rondell Moore comparison gets made, but there's a lot of things that make Rondell Moore special. You know, he's uncommonly strong. Yeah. He's an unbelievable athlete. Just because Marcellus Moore is 5'8" and runs a 4.3, that doesn't mean he's Rondell Moore, but he's that profile of player. Just like in basketball, Trevion Williams is not Caleb Swanigan, but he is that profile of player. So I think that comparison Purdue could make, that they could showcase a player like Marcellus Moore having success at Purdue. I think that really helped Purdue. Obviously, this is a big speed and space sort of offensive philosophy for Purdue, not to steal Michigan's hashtag. This is obviously a very, very logical fit for him from an offensive perspective. Obviously, a two-sport guy, too, also is going to run track at Purdue. That makes Purdue getting him even more impressive, because when you look at some of the schools he got, Arkansas is the best track program in the country. And he was one of the that was one of the schools he chose Purdue over to. Purdue just did a really good job recruiting him. They were his first Power Five offer. Obviously, a pretty good football fit and some more speed for Purdue, and they'll take as much of that as they can get.
Dorian Bryant in a very different mold than Rondell Moore too. And if Marcellus Moore turns out to be Dorian Bryant, Purdue would take that also, I think.
Yeah, obviously Dorian Bryant had some things too. Some other guys don't, in terms of his quickness in and out of cuts, his sort of ability to change directions and whatnot. Just an unbelievable athlete with gigantic hands. Some of the biggest hands I've ever seen on a wide receiver too. So not every guy who is like guys who came before, they're not always the same player. But I'm sure Marcellus Moore has some things too that set him apart. So that's sort of the nature of the comparison game.
This turning out to be another good wide receiver class with Malik Carr, the four-star, still a possibility there, and Purdue probably sits in pretty good shape, or at least pretty good position with him as well. Is this going to be a routine thing now, just because the nature of the offense and what it's able to do and sort of what Rondell Moore has been able to show that it can do for players? We only see this every year, you think?
Well, obviously, I think this class – because, you know, it's one of the great challenges in recruiting sometimes is stacking classes, where if you get a great class at one position one year, it can help you in some ways with the next class, but it can kill you in a lot of ways with the next class too, because when you're selling opportunity and you just brought in four great young players, that's tough. That was a reality to some extent for Purdue basketball after they signed Hummel, Martin, Etuan Moore, Juwan Johnson years ago, was bringing in guys behind a group that yielded what would have been multiple three, four-year starters. There are challenges there. Obviously, any wide receiver in this class could have looked at last year's wide receiver class and said, they're going to put those young guys on the field. I'm really going to have to fight like hell to get on that field. Now, to a competitive kid, that might not necessarily deter you. To a practical, ambitious kid, that could deter you. But if Purdue ends up getting Colin Sullivan, who's already committed, Marcellus Moore, who's already committed, and Malik Carr, who I'd call more a probability than a possibility at this point, that's a hell of a wide receiver class backed up against the outstanding class he signed last year. So it certainly seems like this is going to be a yearly thing for Purdue, which is offensive reputation, offensive identity paying off. And you have a really good recruiter as your wide receivers coach. You have a lot of things going for you recruiting wide receivers right now. And obviously Purdue is yielding the dividends. It's just unfortunate for Purdue. You can't put 11 wide receivers on the field, because that's the one spot where they are recruiting with anybody in the country, because these are three national recruits they will end up with if they get Malik Carr on top of the class they signed last year.
Yeah, just don't go with interior offensive linemen, right? Just put more receivers on the field. That might work out.
Good luck.
All right, so Purdue up to
tackle, guard, another wide receiver. Yeah.
So Purdue up to 15 total. Seems like there's maybe a handful, a little bit less than that perhaps. Wide receiver, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, cornerback maybe. Is that what your list looks like of remaining positions that Purdue might try to fill here?
Well, Purdue's going to sign another defensive lineman. Purdue's going to sign another wide receiver. It's not hard to figure out who those guys are at this point. Purdue's obviously been on Malik Carr for a long time. They've been on Bryce Austin for a long time. They're in great shape with both of those guys. I'd anticipate both of them announcing in the fall. Outside of that, I think they probably add another offensive lineman. I think they possibly add another cornerback. The cornerback one is the bigger question. I'm not sure where you find where we find the space for one. Purdue did sign two good ones, two good true corners in the last class, Cameron Allen and Niles Beverly. So I don't know what the urgency of that need is when you already have Max Melton committed as well. So, but I would say the certainty beyond the wide receiver and the defensive lineman would be the offensive lineman. I think they would probably take another one of those. But again, I don't know what their numbers are. And they already have more, significantly more commitments now than they have seniors on their roster. So they know their numbers better than I ever could. So I can just kind of guess here, but I can't really know.
Yeah. A little bit of basketball recruiting news from over the weekend as well. Hunter Dickinson cuts his list down to 7. Purdue included in that group. That's not really a surprise. Well, we could see that coming. But noteworthy nonetheless. Purdue's in the mix there with some pretty good other programs.
Yeah, and I don't know if there are really any surprises on that list. That list pretty much comprises the list of teams that have done the best job recruiting and that have been there the longest, with the exception of probably North Carolina and Michigan, although Michigan was recruiting him under its last staff for a long time without offering.
Yeah.
I do think the two newcomers from an offer perspective, Carolina and Michigan, will both be factors in this, but I think Purdue, Louisville, and probably Notre Dame would be the two who have been most entrenched with him for a longer period of time. I still think Purdue's got as good a chance as anybody in this one. It just makes – I know we say this about a lot of recruits, but I don't know if I've ever meant it more with a recruit than I do this one, because he – I mean, Purdue just makes so much sense. And nowadays basketball is – I think Caleb Swanigan kind of – from a Purdue perspective, at least, brought this term to the forefront, was the business decision. Who's gonna feature me right away? Who's gonna put me in the best chance to succeed right away? And who's gonna do the best job helping me get where I want to go as quickly as possible? And obviously, nowadays the NBA looms so large in basketball recruiting, and I think that's gonna be a pretty considerable factor on Hunter Dickinson's mind. And Purdue is one of the few schools in the country that can credibly say, we've had players like you, we've made them bet, we've helped them get better, we've gotten them, you know, to a pretty high level of their sport at the college level, at least. And here is the model we employed for them and that we would employ for you if you came here. And I think that's going to give Purdue a real chance with him.
All right, thanks, Brian.
No problem.
Much more recruiting news on the site at goldandblack.com. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back to put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a minute on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
If you are looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Plenty more on the site at goldenblack.com as we build up to the start of football practice later on this week. Also more in football and basketball recruiting. All right, that'll do it for our show. We'll be back again next Monday, 10 o'clock, with our next podcast, or look for Gold and Black Radio Express as well. All right, thanks to our sponsors, as always. East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the Sixth Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. That'll do it for our show for this week. For Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.